everyone. Welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. I'm your host, Whitney Shio.
And I'm your host, Pesa Shio, and I'm Whitney Shio's husband.
That's right. This is the place where we believe that every single marriage out there has the chance to be awesome, fulfilling, and long-lasting.
Yes, every single marriage has a chance to be awesome and fulfilling.
And we've been together for 13 years, and we also happen to have 4 kids. So we know how challenging it can be, and we know that there's a huge need just for encouragement and support. And sometimes it's just nice to, you know, hear it from someone who's been there.
Yeah, somebody who's been in the struggle and have lived it, been there, done that. And we are here to encourage you, not that we are better than you guys, but we are saying that
we're real people with real problems.
Yes, we are real people with real problems. And you can always find us on Twitter at Pesa Shio, and my wife is at Whitney Shio, and our website is liveyourbestmarriage.com/blog. Our Facebook is at facebook.com/liveyourbestmarriage.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You can like us on Facebook and get all the updates, or you can also message us as well. You can send us a DM on Twitter too if you want.
Okay, cool. And so what are we talking about today, Whitney?
So today, I thought that it would be appropriate to talk about ways that we can stay present in the moment.
Okay, so present in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Because I think that if we're able to de-stress and stay calm just in our daily lives, mm-hmm. it can also just make our marriage more joyful and probably more resilient too.
You had a quick question. What should we do? Should we always be present in the moment or always be looking forward to the future?
I think it's better to stay present in the moment.
Because, so we should not care about the future?
No, you should care, but not to the point where you would have anxiety or anything like that.
Or like forget to live today because we are always anticipating about the future.
Yeah, it's nice just to enjoy today.
Okay.
For sure.
So how does that goal setting come in? Like, because you're mm-hmm. setting goals for the future and everybody seems to mm-hmm. encourage goal setting. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Absolutely. You should always set goals for yourself. But I think the main purpose
yes.
today is not to dwell on the past. I think that was...
Okay, not to dwell on the past, live yeah. in the moment, and don't think about the future.
No, you can think about the future as much as you want.
Okay.
But in the daily busyness of life, it makes me want to ask the question, are you mindful or is your mind full?
Whoa. Can you say that again?
So, yeah, I know. I like to have a play on words. Are you mindful or is your mind just too full? So,
I think my mind is too full.
It's too full. That's probably what all of us are going through.
Yeah.
So, I was coming at this more from the point where if you can de-stress with your spouse, if just like on a normal day, you can get into the habit of trying to find that stillness as a couple, then when a misinterpretation comes up or a miscommunication happens, you're more prepared to handle it.
Okay.
Yeah, because it can help you, you know, think more clearly. You'll be asking questions like, okay, can you please clarify? Okay. You know, rather than my usual reaction, which is like, oh, no, he didn't. Mm-hmm. He did not just say that.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that on days when I'm more calm mm-hmm. And I'm able to, I don't know, chill out a little bit, I can speak my mind, okay. but it's in a way that helps a lot more than hurts.
Okay. So, and this is brought by you relaxing with your husband.
Yeah. I mean, I'm viewing it as... if a problem can be avoided
okay.
before it even starts,
yes.
or if it can be stopped before it starts. Because also, I was thinking that things can look worse in hindsight.
Okay.
Like some of the memories that we have as a couple. For example, if someone made a joke
okay.
that didn't come out quite right. If you look back on that, like, I don't know, 6 months later... you might be like, okay, you know what? That really wasn't that funny. Maybe they meant blah, 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 instead yes. of, maybe they weren't really kidding. And the reason why I'm even using that as an example is because I wanted to bring up the idea of viewing your spouse as a brand new person every day.
Whoa.
That's
deep.
Because, well, yeah, I mean, if you can start fresh every day, that's pretty much being present.
Okay.
Right? And I mean, and like, even with the experiences that you guys have, if you can view it as it's happening for the first time ever, that's a great way to just practice staying present.
Okay.
And so that's why I brought that up. Things can take a turn for the worst if you're just constantly looking behind you. Things might kind of start to have a negative twist for whatever reason. I mean, sometimes that just happens.
Yes.
And I think Dr. Gottman refers to that as rewriting history.
Oh, yes. And
he's the marriage expert who wrote The 7 Principles of Making Marriage Work or something like that.
Yes.
That might not be the exact title of the book, but...
And I think he's the one who is able to predict a divorce, I think, with more than 90% accuracy.
Right.
Yes.
Right. He can tell just by listening to a couple's conversation whether or not they'll be divorcing or not. Yeah.
That's somebody I definitely would invite for for dinner.
Oh. Yeah. I would be nervous if he was listening to our conversation.
Because it's like, this couple is going to divorce.
Yeah, I would be really super nervous.
But one of the things he talked about was contempt is mm-hmm. one of the biggest issues that actually lead to a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And how does contempt tie in with what we are talking about right now?
Well, because contempt basically means that you view your spouse as they are less than you.
Yes.
You're superior to them, and you just don't really have much respect for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you could tie that in with this idea of if you're always looking back, if you're thinking of the past,
yes.
then if you're rewriting history, as Dr. Gottman would call it.
Okay.
Then, yeah, definitely you could develop contempt very easily. I think contempt would happen when, if you guys have a lot of resentment going on.
Yeah.
That, or anger, that could probably be an issue.
And, you know, just not to cut you short, but there was a place I had read where they were talking about happiness being a result of mm-hmm. activities, mm-hmm. not... they were saying something about if you really want happiness, you should. It's a byproduct of things that you are doing. Mm-hmm. Not you should not be seeking it directly, because mm-hmm. they were saying seeking happiness directly, it's like will lead you to using drugs. And I don't remember specific. Uh-huh. I don't know if you read that book.
Oh yeah, that was in The Code of the Extraordinary Mind.
What did they say?
You might want to remind me what the author's name is, so that
Vishen Lakhiani.
Oh, Vishen Lakhiani. Okay.
Lakhiani, yeah.
Yes. So that the audience can look it up if they want to. Yes, he made it very clear that you should not just completely start seeking happiness. You should just start doing things that would bring on the happiness as a result. So an example he gave was, well, you know, when I start making money, then I'll be happy.
Okay.
No, it's actually the other way around. Let's just chill out first, and then you can concentrate on making your money, but the happiness will come as a result. But also you should kind of sort of be happy in the now too.
Okay, yes, be happy in the now.
Yeah.
And be happy because of your taking actions
mm-hmm.
on projects that you really care about. You're not just out there looking for happiness.
Yeah, you're already doing things that you enjoy.
Yeah.
And you also like to bring up what is it? Motion brings emotion,
yes.
or something.
Motion brings emotion. That's from Tony mm-hmm. Robbins.
Oh, okay.
He was talking about
mm-hmm.
motions bring emotions.
Okay. So if you start doing an activity that you enjoy, then you'll start feeling the positive emotions after that, right?
Yes. Not just going out there saying, I want to be happy. How come I'm not happy? How come I'm not? Mm-hmm. You do activities that you enjoy.
Okay.
If, for example, somebody likes woodworking,
mm-hmm.
creating websites.
Mm-hmm.
Going fishing or whatever. And by doing those activities, happiness will come unsought. You're just going to get happiness.
Oh, okay.
But if you're just out there looking mm-hmm. for happiness,
mm-hmm.
You might not get it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's why you were saying that if you're just constantly seeking a way to feel good, that can lead to addictions.
Yes.
Then, okay, that makes sense.
You know who talked about this? I think also, and forgive me, guys, that I'm dropping names today, but I've learned a lot from just other gurus, and that's Al Nightingale.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. What did he say?
He talked about how happiness is a byproduct of doing other activities.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
don't search for happiness. Don't go look for happiness directly because mm-hmm. that might lead to drug addiction or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
because you'll be looking for something to give you happiness.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And he's old school, so but that might mm-hmm. bring drug addiction.
So this sounds like something that would be practiced on a regular basis.
Yes.
This is not like an overnight fix.
No, it's not an overnight fix. And also when people talk about flow, when you're in that mm-hmm. flow state,
mm-hmm.
when everything is just working mm-hmm. and you're in that flow state,
mm-hmm.
they say it's because you're immersed in an activity that uh-huh. is actually you love and you're just into that activity and you become happy.
Right. It's so funny that you just mentioned that
uh-huh.
because I feel like I've kind of hit a sweet spot with just working for Live Your Best Marriage.
Yes.
Because even when I went to the gym today, which is something that I totally love, I crave going to do the Stairmaster
mm-hmm.
and then lifting weights. But today I could barely get through it. I was just too excited to come and record this podcast.
Wow.
Right? How crazy is that?
Yes.
So, yeah, I definitely get the idea of what flow is. I'm just so excited. I cannot wait
to come
and start just, you know, being creative and sharing ideas.
Because this is something that's meaningful to you.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
It might not be meaningful to other people, but to you it's very meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just excited to do it.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that would be my wish for everyone. If they can get to that point of where they're just, oh my gosh, they cannot wait to go and work on a project or go to work, whether it's their job or spending time with their kids, it might be something different for everybody. But if you get to that level of being that excited, I think that's great.
Cool.
Yeah.
So now talking about distressing.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say about that?
So, as couples are going through just the busyness of their daily life, if we can try to start seeking this, I don't know, sort of stillness or calmness,
mm-hmm.
I think that de-stressing really is a great idea.
Okay.
And when you go back to the human senses that we all have. We have touch, scent, hearing, taste. There's different things that we can do.
Okay.
As husband and wife. Just so if you want to use touch, for example, you could hold hands more. You could hug more. And because really, if you think about it, if you go for a walk through, I don't know if there's a nature center or a park near where you live. Just touching the bark on a tree, or if your child brings a leaf to you, that sense of touch is really nice. I mean, especially if you've gone through a long winter of cold and snow and everything. I think that sense of touch can be very powerful. So if you can use it in your marriage, if you can hold hands, you know, just whatever, hug, those types of things, I think that that would be extremely helpful.
I agree.
And then for scent, picture yourself, you know, lighting a candle in your living room or whatever in the evening as you sit back to watch TV. Well, that could be useful. But another thing you can do is the wife could put on her favorite or her husband's favorite perfume that he likes for her to wear. Or vice versa. The husband could wear cologne or whatever it is.
In the evening.
In the evening or even at night before you go to bed, if you apply, you could even just apply a lotion that has a nice smell or whatever.
Okay.
That I just think that would be really calming and really soothing in a way. Just because I even do that with our baby. We have our littlest one is 4 months right now. And when we have the lavender lotion, you know, that she can have after her bath, it's so soothing and I love it.
Yes, I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, you agree. You've never given her a bath, but yeah, that's okay. So hearing.
Yes, I have.
Hearing is another thing. So you could listen to music together as a couple, and which would bring me to another point. You could even go dancing together, mm-hmm. but that might be, I don't know. For me, that would be a stretch right now.
It sounds like that's a lot of work just to relax.
No, it's not a lot of work to relax because
it seems like we are doing more work just to relax.
Because you're thinking of ways that you can de-stress, but also at the same time connect with the person who matters the most to you.
So what if somebody says, "What's wrong with just sitting in front of TV and watching Dancing with the Stars?"
Because we're trying to be mindful. TV. There's nothing wrong with. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with TV, but it's probably going to make your mind busier. Just if you want to take taste, for example, mm-hmm. eating your favorite meal as a couple, like for us, our favorite thing is biryani. Mm-hmm. We so love Indian food. And every time we go to a particular restaurant here in town, it's just, I honestly, coming to think of it, I feel relaxed.
Yes, I do.
I don't know why. It's just, we love that. We love it so much.
So what if somebody says, "Hey, I have 4 kids. How can I do this plan? Do I need to take my kids to daycare or so I can relax?"
No. Even because meditation is something that anyone could do even at a young age. And when I say meditation, I'm not talking about anything spiritual. I'm talking about like just sitting there and thinking like, okay, what can I be grateful for right now? Or, you know, just things like that. Things like that. What's a peaceful thing that I can think about right now? Do I want to imagine myself at the beach? It's whatever you want. It's up to the individual.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with that. And then just knowing how to breathe, like chill out and like do breathing, mm-hmm. that's like another huge thing that you can use to your advantage.
So if I came to you and say, "Hey, I work at a factory, mm-hmm. I have 16-hour days, and I'm trying to get, and I'm always so busy, mm-hmm. I come home so tired. Mm-hmm. I have 4 kids. My wife is also busy. What should we do the first night to relax and to de-stress?"
That you want to practice this?
Yeah.
It can be anything they want to do.
What's the first thing should we do?
Just chill out. Go sit on the couch. Dim the lights. You can even, honestly, for us, I can speak for myself, mm-hmm. just having a conversation with you, okay. a conversation about nothing. Chit-chatting puts me at ease. And it has always been like that.
Okay.
Since the beginning. But my main point with this is just, if you can, again, if you guys feel like you can just go through the busyness and the stress of daily life together, then you're going to start feeling like, you know what, we can make it through anything together. And if you need a reminder, if you need to set a timer on your phone to say, okay, you know what, it's that time of the day again, or it's that time of the evening for us to just relax and find that stillness. You can do that. You could even wear a wristband to remind you. It's just because a lot of times my problem is my ADD is so off the charts, I will forget. I need something to remind me to take it down a notch.
Okay.
That's me. Not everybody. I doubt if everyone has that issue, but
my issue is I need to take it up a notch.
You want to take it up a notch? Yeah. So, but that's great too. Like what we talked about earlier with getting to that point where you want to immerse yourself in a project.
Yeah.
That would be good too if a couple can immerse themselves in a project that they love doing together.
Like maybe gardening or shopping or...
Mm-hmm. Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they like. I know another couple who likes to go hunting. I know people who like to go swimming together. It's whatever their preference is. So yeah, mm-hmm. It would be okay to take it up a notch too in that case if you want to do that. But I was just coming from the point of if one in three Americans are okay. saying they're happy, that doesn't sound like a lot of people to me. That sounds like a very small number of people are saying that they're happy.
Okay.
So I just thought, okay, well, if we can connect learning how to just be present and be happy in the now, if we can connect that to marriage, then hey, that's going to be an awesome win for a lot of couples.
Okay. And do you think not being happy in the marriage can also cause divorce?
Not being happy in the marriage? Yeah. Oh, you mean not being happy in the now?
Oh, not being happy in the now. Do you think that also leads to having a divorce?
Yes, I think it totally could.
Really?
I think it could. Because just by you saying, okay, well, if they're not happy in the now, then that means maybe they're either dwelling on the past or they're having anxiety for the future. So, and it could be like financial issues, it could be whatever it is, whatever their stress is, that they're having trouble with.
So talking about financial issues, so if somebody right now is like going through so much financial stress, can they really be happy?
Can they be happy? Of course they can be happy. You can, as hard as it is sometimes, you can make the decision to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to practice gratitude. I'm going to first think about things that I'm thankful for that I already have.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is actually going to help you be more creative in solving your whatever your problem is. Because also in the Code of the Extraordinary Mind book by Vishen Lakhani, he also talks about alpha waves.
Okay.
So he talks about the alpha waves in the brain actually are what stimulate your creativity.
Okay.
And so if your alpha waves are low, that means you might be struggling with forgiveness or just some stress. And that is actually something that will hinder you being able to solve problems.
The alpha waves help with your creativity, and you uh-huh. want creativity to be able to solve problems.
Yeah. But how are you going to be able to get your alpha waves up if you're totally stressed all the time?
So you need to not be stressed. So you need to be distressing.
Yeah. So how will you not be stressed? You'll be present in the moment.
Okay. Okay.
So things are more tied together than what we would think they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if somebody says, you know what, I'm just going to bust through it. I'm just going to walk through it.
I used to think that. I used to think that the way to solve a problem was willpower.
Okay.
And that did not work out well for me.
Why is that?
I always used to think if something is really hard, oh, I just need to work harder.
Yeah, you got to work harder. You got to bust through it.
Yeah, if I want to accomplish more, I need to do more, yeah. right? But then I learned from Perry Marshall, he's like a marketing expert. He said that if you can restructure your focus and narrow it down to one thing or just a few things, then you'll be putting more energy towards something that is actually more likely to work out for you. Instead of if you're quote unquote working hard
yes.
and you're just dividing your energy up between all these things that you're trying to do.
Yes.
Even just 10% extra energy or extra work is really not going to make the difference that you're wanting.
Because you're splitting it among so many other things.
You're spreading yourself too thin.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know how we got to that, but if you put like 500% focus on one thing,
okay,
versus putting, you know, 10% of energy in 10 different categories on like so just so many different things, the outcome is not going to, it's going to lead you to more like, oh, I need to work harder.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense.
So basically, you'll, as you have said before, you'll be so spread out mm-hmm. that although you're putting the same amount of energy, mm-hmm. you're putting mm-hmm. in so many things. So mm-hmm. the changes in each individual thing will be so tiny
mm-hmm.
compared to if you had put the same amount of energy in a few things, maybe one or two. Or right. One. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's also a good point that you brought up because that just reminded me that multitasking mm-hmm. can actually lower your IQ.
It can?
Yeah. If you guys read the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller,
yeah.
the guy from Keller Williams Realty. Yes. Yeah. Multitasking can lower your IQ because your brain has to like, I don't know, I guess your brain has to work harder every time you switch back and forth between one task to another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, can you give us an example of what task switching would look like?
Why don't you tell us about what your mother-in-law told you about, about doing the dishes long time ago?
Oh, yeah, really long time ago.
Yeah.
So, my mother-in-law saw me doing dishes one day, and I was scrubbing each glass one at a time. I would scrub it and then rinse it off and then put it in the drying rack and then repeat that over and over again. So, when she saw me doing that, she's like, I know you're used to having a dishwasher, so you might not know this system that we use back in Kenya. What we do is we cover all of the dishes at once with soap and we scrub them. And then when we're done with that, we rinse all of them at the same time.
And then we put them in the drying rack.
Yeah, and then we can put them in the drying rack. So I have never been able to break that habit. Oh, literally every time I wash dishes, I scrub each one by one and then I rinse them one by one. But come to find out, that's task switching.
Yes.
According to this book, The One Thing. Yeah. So you can imagine it probably takes me a little bit longer then to get yeah. the dishes done.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So because it's just that idea of, it's that concept of switching from, okay, I'm scrubbing. And then I'm moving to rinsing. Those are two totally different tasks. It might not seem that different, but I'm sure to the brain, I'm sure.
Yeah. And you know, that's, somebody can be like, ah, you're just being too picky. There's no big deal. But if you take the same concept and now you give, you put it on bigger and bigger things,
mm-hmm.
you can see how much time you can save by not doing task switching, just finishing mm-hmm. one thing
mm-hmm.
before you move on to the next.
Right.
Yes.
So, and for me personally, as a mom of four kids, I find myself switching a lot. If I'm trying to cook a meal and then one of the kids says, hey, mom, can you do this? Blah, 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 blah. And then I go and talk to them and, oh my goodness, that's stressful.
And sometimes it feels like, as a mom, it feels like, mm-hmm. or a dad.
Yeah, or a dad.
Yeah, it feels like you have to do it. Like you feel like the interruptions have to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or just like somebody who's doing customer service on the
mm-hmm.
on the front desk,
mm-hmm.
and every 5 minutes before they finish typing an email, somebody's on their desk asking them a question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they can never get anything done because they're always being pulled up away so many places. And it mm-hmm. seems like that's part of their job. They have to do that.
Yeah. And I've even seen that like on some job descriptions, they say, okay. Oh, must be a good multitasker.
Although we now know that being a multitasker is not a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, and I really struggled I went through a really hard season of dealing with those interruptions from the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But now I try to be more present
mm-hmm.
and I decide, okay, I am not leaving this kitchen until I'm done with this.
Okay.
Even if, I mean, if somebody needs a diaper changed urgently, I guess that's a different story, but anything else, I need to finish what I'm doing.
or you will be doing so many things and you'll never seem to finish anything.
Yeah, that was the general feeling that I had during that time. I felt like I wasn't getting anything done.
And also the tasks, for some reason, seem to be bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like something that can take half an hour or take 25 minutes, for some reason, I start takes hours, because even just the thought of it, just the thought of the task is so big.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all from the task switching and the stress and the multitasking. Mm-hmm. And after a while, you even don't feel good. You just feel depressed and you just don't feel right. The excitement out of doing the tasks goes away and you start feeling like
really drained.
Yes, the feeling of overwhelm.
Yeah. Oh, yes, so if you're feeling drained, I just wanted to encourage you. And to recap, really, I think if you're able to look for things that help you find calmness and stillness, you will begin to see your levels of optimism go up.
Yeah.
I think over a period of time, you'll start to just, you know, view things more positively. And of course, that makes a huge impact for your marriage.
Yeah. And talking about happiness, I remember a quote from Viktor Frankl, who wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning. He's also a Second World War survivor. And he talked about the concept of happiness, and he brought up the issue that happiness cannot be pursued, but the more we aim at it, the more we miss our aim. And he brought that issue that it's a paradoxical intention.
Mm-hmm.
And you can Google this guy, Viktor Frankl. Mm-hmm. I mean, his book, Man's Search for Meaning, is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But so the more we search for happiness, the more we pursue happiness, the more we miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Although, and then so the opposite is, the more we are not looking for happiness, we are just engrossed in our work, like a task that we really love to do, we are more likely to find happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, my wish for all of you is that you'll be able to practice some of these. And if you already have been, maybe you can implement it some more. And I hope it helps.
Folks, I mean, we love to give you some tips here and there, and most of the time, actually, most of these tips are things we are using in our life to better our life, and also to just to help our life become much easier as a married couple and also as parents of little kids. So we love to get comments from you guys, and just tips, and also replies on how we are doing. So you can always find us at the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. Our blog is liveyourbestmarriage.com, and also our Facebook is facebook.com/liveyourbestmarriage. We always reply to your tweets at Pesa Shayo and at Whitney Shayo. And if you want to DM us on Twitter, we don't mind. We'll reply to all DMs.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. We will be back again next time.